Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Slant, powered by Pro Football Focus and brought to you by DraftKings. I'm your usual host, Michael Moore, along with our usual co-host, Russell Clay. Say hello, Russ.
Aloha.
First of all, merry belated Christmas to all of you fantasy players out there, and hopefully your championship weeks were successful. Me and Russ were just talking. It sounds like Russ had some hits, had some misses on his fantasy week. I myself lost to my father in our championship game in our home league, so I will now hear about that for the next year. So if my dad ever listens to this, like, you know, screw you, Dad. But nonetheless, we will move on to happier things for us. We'll go through our usual news and notes section heading into week 17. And then you and I are going to cover some studs and duds that probably won some people some championship games, probably lost some people some championship games last week, and touch on actually some rookies and sort of dynasty thought process when we think about rookies and how well they did after their rookie season. And then we will round out, Russ, and this is a little sad, with our last DraftKings value plays for the week for next week, which is week 17. But without further delay, Russ, let's just jump right in. Breaking news, really. I mean, not more than 2 hours ago from recording this podcast, Chip Kelly fired out of Philadelphia. You know, it's one of those where it's not like I'm exactly surprised, but I think the timing was a little surprising. So first, let's cover Philadelphia, Russ. What does this do? The next season's a long way away. There's free agency. There's the draft. But for the moment, what does this do for the current roster on Philadelphia for next season? Does this do anything for you? Does this make anyone trend up, trend down? What are you thinking?
I am probably going to be looking to buy quite a few of their players this offseason. Obviously, Jordan Matthews within the last few weeks has kind of, he's sort of burned a hole in the idea that you were going to be able to buy low on him all offseason. He's headed towards 1,000 yards. And
he really spoiled that, didn't he?
Yeah.
For all of our dynasty and redraft players, he really spoiled that.
Because he was one of the few guys in that 2014 class that really was not looking to sort of exceed expectations this year. And unfortunately, right, the last 2 weeks, his season end totals and helping people in fantasy championships. So both of those are going to be up. But I'm looking at Nelson Agholor. I'm looking at DeMarco Murray. I mean, we don't know who the next head coach is, but I think that could be positives for both of those players. So those would be two players I'm kind of looking at. Zach Ertz, I mean, he always seemingly is overdrafted, but I'd say those three players are ones I'm looking at in terms of ADP and sort of seeing it where they fall.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with Matthews and Aguilar, I mean, that's a good young foundation, I'd say, for whoever inherits that job. I can't imagine them upgrading that position a whole lot just because they've got cheap young talent there right now. Murray, if he does stay there, yeah, I mean, look, they still have the players that made up a good offensive line there. Even if they had a down year this year, it's entirely feasible that they have a bounce back year. So, yeah, I think I'm with you. And like you said, a lot of it depends on who that coach is that ends up in Philadelphia. But look, there's a lot of guys that disappointed there this year that I think can bounce back. So, so Russ, let's get on hot take alert. Where are you putting Chip Kelly next season? This is our way too early prediction for this.
Where do I want him?
Where do you think he will go? And then we can play where do you want him? Or maybe they're the same.
Honestly, at this moment, I don't see him being a head coach in the NFL next year.
Really? I would say that qualifies as a hot take for us.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll get into where we want him in a second. But, yeah, I don't know that it's that likely. Like, he made a bad impression with this Philadelphia situation. So obviously he has the creative and innovative stuff in terms of coaching, but he kind of wants that power. So I don't know if he's going to budge if they don't give him the GM powers next place he goes. So that'll be an interesting storyline to follow. What about you?
Well, and look, let's remember, in recent history, there typically is 6 to 8 NFL head coaching jobs that come open after the season ends. Tennessee's already one of them. I don't know, man. I think the writing's on the wall with that. I think we probably want him to go there, and I think he does end up there. They've got a head coaching vacancy. They're going to get a top 1 or 2 draft pick. I think it makes too much sense, really. And look, all the big-time college jobs, if we're looking at that, are already closed. You know, I mean, the USC job's closed. I believe all the SEC jobs are closed. I don't know, man. I can't see him ending up anywhere else than Tennessee. I would love for him to end up with my own team, the 49ers, but there's, believe me, I could spend a whole podcast talking about what's wrong with that. So I think it just makes too much sense for him to end up in Tennessee.
Gabbert options for the win.
Oh, my God. Don't. Please stop. I'm this close to getting a Gabbert jersey just to.
Bruce Ellington, triple option.
Does he still play? Is he on the staff?
Oh, he's out there. He had a catch.
Okay. All right. So where do you want him, though, Russ?
I want him in Tennessee, absolutely. I just want to see how it works out with Mariota. I mean, they have a nice young core. Delanie Walker's looking good. If they can get a running back in there, RIP Bishop Sankey. I really like that offense. If Kendall Wright can ever get healthy, he's a really nice sort of number 2 wide receiver. And if Doriel Green Beckham can develop, those 2 plus Delanie Walker is a really, really nice group of weapons for Mariota.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it's a very appealing job. They've got a lot of good young players. They're in a bad division, so you can make a lot of ground up very quickly there. And they're going to get a top 2 pick. I mean, and a pick that you don't have to spend on a quarterback. You can literally get best player available, whatever that may be, and run with it. So, and look, for Chip Kelly, again, I forgot what the stat was, but essentially he's won 26 games over the last 3 years with the likes of Nick Foles, Mark Sanchez, Mike Vick, and his after prime, and Sam Bradford at quarterback. I mean, there is something to be said. He can coach, I think, in this league, but like you said, I think it remains to be seen if somebody just hands him the keys again after this ordeal. But an interesting thing, Russ, that I go back to, and then we'll move on, but it's just weird to me that it was only last year they gave him control over personnel, and now they pull the plug. Like, 1 year. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you give them the keys 1 year and then want to take them from them the next. I mean, look, a good example of, I think, letting things sort of mature is Carolina, right? You've got Gettleman, a GM, and Rivera, who's been there 4 years now. And look, that was certainly, if they would have been evaluated on a, you know, ride or die after the first 2 or 3 years, they probably would have been gone. But they let them sort of mature and grow and learn. And, you know, now they're one of the best teams in football. So that's the only thing that's confusing to me. And it really makes me wonder if any decent coaching prospect's going to want to go to Philadelphia.
That's a very interesting point. And I think it's just, we see so much of it nowadays where teams and sort of GMs and presidents just don't allow things to sort of work out, you know? Yeah. I mean, see, and this is a lot of with the Rams. I know everyone wants Jeff Fisher gone, and they really want him gone. They really, really want him gone. But I just don't see it that way. Like, he's building a team. Like, they have good players for the first time since they were the greatest show on turf. And I look at it a little like this, where if he's building something and you see positive indicators, why are we just throwing it all away? I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't think they should have fired him yet, but obviously they know more about everything that happened than I do, you know?
Yeah, it's, believe me, there's no shortage of drama with that job and that team. So I'm sure I'm sure in the days and weeks ahead, we'll get even juicier stuff, and it'll be all very interesting. And, you know, Philadelphia will hire another coach that will probably, you know, ask to be fired after the first year. Who knows? But nonetheless, Russ, let's move on. One injury note to touch on heading into week 17, more so for, I think, daily games and really for actual NFL, but Marshawn Lynch does have a chance to return in week 17 after a rather lengthy absence. You know, and again, we'll touch on our DraftKings value plays later, Russ, but are you buying on Marshawn Lynch next week? I mean, or do you need some time for him to sort of, you know, knock the rust off, or where are you at on him?
Well, in terms of DFS, I like him as a tournament play. Obviously, you're not using him in a cash game, but I think the biggest change might be we see a little less passing. And this might affect Russell Wilson more than anything else in terms of his sort of passing volume and touchdowns. So that'd be the thing I would look out for. But again, Doug Baldwin's been pretty much automatic every week, so I don't know if you're necessarily shying away from that stack either. So if he plays, I'd use a little sort of a little hesitation, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, and I think the thing to keep in mind with Seattle just as a team is they have no shot at the division. So, and they're already in the playoffs. They've locked that up. So I think, you know, you got to be careful that they either rest guys or you take it, you know, tap the brake a little bit heading into the playoffs, I should say. All right, Russ. So let's move on to a season end segment where you and I will talk about our MVP picks and rookie of the year picks. And to clarify, is this fantasy MVP, Russ, or actual MVP? Or does it matter?
Actual MVP.
Okay. Then I will let you kick off, sir, since this is your brainchild.
Okay, so in terms of MVP, I think we're looking at three quarterbacks here: Cam Newton, Carson Palmer, and Tom Brady. I just think overall you can't ignore what the Panthers did this year, and I think Cam Newton was the best player on what ended up being the best team. I think Palmer and Brady may have had better streaks at certain points in the season, but Cam's been consistent throughout the whole year. And I mean, obviously losing to the Falcons isn't great, but they're 14-1, so they're going to end with the best record. Cam's putting up career highs in pretty much every category. 8 rushing touchdowns, I believe, and 33 passing touchdowns, which is just – that combination is completely obscene. And I don't really think anyone's that close. Carson Palmer's pretty close, but I don't think he edges him out.
This is tough, Russ. I agree with your top three, meaning Newton, Palmer, and Brady. I'm with you. I think I put Palmer number three. I think we can agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is splitting hairs. But
well, I don't know, man. He might be second for me.
So Brady third for you.
I think he's, yeah, 2A and Brady's 2B.
Well, and I'm going to be called a Tom Brady homer, Russ, but I personally would probably give it to Tom Brady. Okay, so let's look at the numbers. You've got, you know, passing yards a game, 309 for Brady, 236 for Cam. Now, obviously the rushing advantage is well in Cam's favor, 40 yards a game, you know, compared to, I don't know, like 4 yards a game for Tom Brady. touchdown to interceptions, Tom Brady 36-7, Cam Newton 33-10. Rushing touchdowns, kind of surprising. Tom Brady has 3. I don't know how he did that, but he does.
Oh, Tom Brady's super sly with the QB sneaks.
Apparently, yeah. Cam Newton has 8. So again, not bad. I think for me, Russ, with the stats being very similar, here's where it comes down for me. I think, look, they've both done a great job playing with, I'm going to say, depleted personnel, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning, look, Tom Brady does not have Randy Moss and Wes Welker as he did in the good old days of 2007, okay? He had Julian Edelman for most of the year, but didn't have him for the last month or so. Had to sort of make do with the likes of Danny Amendola, Brandon LaFell, Keyshawn Martin. I mean, you know, no-name guys, really. Not really a strong force in the backfield. I mean, he did have Deion Lewis in the beginning, had James White towards the end. But I think for me, sort of the tiebreaker is when you look at the competition, to me, I would take the AFC East top to bottom over the NFC South top to bottom. Not to say Cam, again, hasn't turned in a stellar season. He has, and that team wouldn't be where they are without him. I'm just, you know, and again, for me, it's very, very close. But if I have to do sort of the pros and cons list, I think I go Brady for me.
I agree with the AFC East being much stronger. That's a tough division. And the Bills didn't end up being what we thought they were, but in general, that's a really strong division. So, yeah.
Again, it's one of those, whether it's Cam or Brady, or even if you made a case for Palmer, I don't think there's a wrong answer there. I really don't.
Yeah, I think all three of those are deserving. I think Cam's going to end up getting the popular vote this year just because he's the new toy.
And it's well-deserved. Believe me, he has taken that team on his back and taken them to 14-1 and probably a very far playoff appearance. So, all right, Russ. Well, that was very anticlimactic, meaning we agreed to disagree. But we will move on to Fantasy Rookie of the Year. So now we're talking fantasy value for rookies, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so again, I will let you lead off. Take it away.
I'm going Todd the God Gurley.
Okay.
1,000 yards. I believe he had 10 touchdowns. And he made their offense so much better, even though they still didn't have a passing game. I mean, they had a non-existent passing game other than
– Had. They still don't, Russ, and they're not gonna.
They have Tavon Austin taking screens to the house, and that right. is how they get passing yards. So, and of course, Case Keenum to Kenny Britt for however that happened against Seattle. But other than that, I mean, that offense is a travesty. You got Greg Robinson just being horrible on the line. Their line is below average. And he just has huge games every once in a while. And if this were last year, this would be a much different story. Obviously, he'd have much different competition. But this was sort of a letdown other than a few candidates. So it wasn't as tough a competition. So I see him as sort of making his way to my Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, and there's really nothing to disagree with. He's got 1,100 yards already, a very, very stout 4.8 yards a carry, and 10 touchdowns. I mean, that's very hard to argue with. I mean, the only guy I could see, you know, challenging him, and I think you'd probably agree, is probably Amari Cooper. Yeah. 70 catches for 1,050 yards, 6 touchdowns. But, yeah, I think just in this day and age of running backs becoming, you know, sort of more, I don't know what the term is, but more marginalized, I guess would be the word. Gurley delivered, man. He was a top 10 pick, and he earned it, you know. And we'll sort of touch on another first-round running back pick in the draft in a moment. But, I don't think anyone can argue with Gurley for that spot. So I think we're in agreement on that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Russ, it would not be a Fantasy Slant podcast with us if we did not go Debbie Downer on everyone. So Todd Gurley, drafted in the first round this year of the NFL draft. Fellow running back Melvin Gordon, drafted in the first round. And, you know, how this popped up for everyone is you and I sort of had a friendly discussion on Twitter about Melvin Gordon and his dynasty value after his very, very, very subpar rookie season. Because I don't think there's any doubt or anyone that would disagree that his first season was a failure. It was just atrocious. No touchdowns, 3.5 yards a carry. You know, he now ends the season on injured reserve. Didn't break 100 yards all season, Russ. All season. He had 88 yards was his most yards in a game.
And he caught a lot of his targets in the receiving game, but he did nothing with those receptions.
He averaged six yards a reception.
Yeah, awful.
So there's no doubt he was bad, but you and I were sort of discussing, what does this do to a guy that was so highly touted? What does it do to his dynasty value heading into the offseason? Because I had written an article where I said I would sell Melvin Gordon because I think his name is probably worth more than his actual production. And you brought up a very good point, which is, you know, you might need more than 1 year to properly determine if a guy is going to succeed in the NFL or not. So I guess, you know, Russ, I'll let you lead off, but you got to convince folks why you should maybe hold on to Melvin Gordon for one more year.
We wanted to bring this up to you guys sort of as a dynasty philosophical type of thing. So if, for instance, we'll use me as an example. I was extremely high on Melvin Gordon going into the year. I drafted him in a ton of rookie drafts. I acquired him wherever I could. So now I'm sitting here week 17 after this atrocity, and the question is, what do I do with this guy now that I'm so heavily invested and he's just sitting on all my rosters? Do I sell him? Do I hold him? Do I diversify and sell some of him? I think this is open for discussion, and I think you can go in many different directions. But the way I'm doing it is I'm holding in all the leagues that I have him, and I'm probably just not going to buy any shares if I do enter new dynasty leagues this year. So I don't want to further the pain because I learned my lesson with Trent Richardson.
Didn't we all, Russ?
The signs were all there, but my college eval was he was a fantastic player. I thought his rookie year was a good indicator. Even though he had a bad yards per carry, but he had the touchdowns.
You're talking about Richardson now, just so we're clear. Richard. Yeah.
Yes. But there were indicators that he was potentially terrible. But even as his stock was going down, I was still buying, to the point where I was buying him and getting him everywhere, but I wasn't giving myself any room for error. So he either turned it around fully, or I lost out huge. So I think you do in some ways have to think about selling here. If you were heavily invested, I think you have to stick with your eval a little bit here. I think you can sell some if it makes sense and you're getting a good deal, but I would not give up everything in clean house either.
So I think maybe the proper term for you right now, Russ, is you're in a hold position with Gordon. Is that fair?
I'm holding unless I can diversify for a good price.
Okay. So, and that's fair. I think, you know, for me, it was just running backs are so fickle now, man. You know, it's just very hard to target one and for it to hit. I mean, look, we just got done talking about Gurley, which is one of the few really – you know, rookie running backs to pan out, you know, to really pay off, even though he was, you know, I would say mildly inconsistent throughout the season, he still turned in 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns, you know? So to me, that's worth it. And for rookie running backs, especially I sort of like the shotgun approach, meaning, look, you just grab up as many as you can. Right. And as you say, diversify, because look, as we saw this year with the injuries and just general ineffectiveness, look, teams are down to their third string running backs in some cases. You know, I mean, look, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago. I picked up Spencer Ware off the waiver wire in a very deep dynasty league, and he ended up turning out pretty good for me for a couple of weeks, you know, and that kind of stuff happens. And I don't know, man. I mean, look, it's one thing if you're picking very high in a rookie draft in dynasty leagues, you know, because then you're sort of, you know, it sort of funnels to the Gordons and the Gurleys of the world. So I can't really blame you there. But, you know, as far as rookie running backs, especially, I don't like to put a lot in that just because I never, you never know. You just never know.
Much like a stock, you have to look at where your entry point was, you know? Right. So if you bought Gordon at the 1-3 in a rookie draft, you got to keep that in perspective for what you're selling for now. If you're selling for, I don't know, a mid to low end wide receiver 3, like in terms of dynasty value, or a second round rookie pick, I would not do that. If you're convinced that he's bad, then I couldn't blame you for jumping ship. But we know he's going to get more opportunity next year. We don't know if the Chargers are going to be better, but it would be tough for that line to be worse. So he's going to get another year of opportunity. I think I'm waiting and seeing, but yeah, this is bad. It's awful. It's horrible.
Yeah, but on that last point, because that is a good point, which is a lot of what makes running backs valuable in fantasy is opportunity, right? Right. Meaning the opportunity to start, to get carries, etc. And in San Diego, I think you're absolutely right. He's going to get another shot only because they've got a lot of holes on that team. And it's not like they're going to be spending, you know, a high draft pick on another running back. Believe me, they've got a lot of areas to fill. As you mentioned, offensive line, anything really on the defensive side. Really, the only thing they don't need immediate help on, I would argue, is maybe quarterback. Every other position, they probably need they need an injection of talent in there. So I'm with you. I think Gordon will get another shot. I, you know, am sad to report I'm one of those that just thinks he's bad. So, for example, you brought up, would you trade him for a second round rookie pick? I hate to break it to you. I might. Wow. I probably would. So if anyone's listening that I'm in dynasty leagues with, hit me up. I'm ready. But
we mentioned someone else earlier as well. Nelson Agholor showed absolutely nothing this year. Okay.
I do have Nelson Agholor shares, Russ, so I am ready.
I think we deal with wide receivers a little different than running backs, and especially they were both pretty bad this year, but I think we give wide receivers a little benefit of the doubt if they don't happen, because there's a lot more year 3 and year 4 breakouts at that position. But he's another guy where I'm holding, you know? It's not looking great, but I'm still just holding, because if I bought him that high, I don't know. I'd rather him turn into dust than give him up for nothing, you know?
I'd rather go down swinging than admit. I get it. No, I understand. And look, it really comes down to what your personal philosophy is, especially on stuff like dynasty leagues, you know? I mean, I may be a little too quick to judge players on if they're going to be good or not and ready to trade them or not. Believe me, I've made my fair share. In hindsight, I never should have made. But it's like you said, it's a philosophical question, really. There is no right or wrong answer there.
But again, I'm not going to go buying him all off season or trading for him at all. You know, I'm going to have him on the team.
No one offer Melvin Gordon to Russ out there because he's not taking
him. I'm not going for it. So I'm going to stick with him on the teams that I have him, and then the rest I will watch from the sidelines.
That's a fair assessment, Russ. All right, so let's move on to our studs and duds for championship week, Russ. But before that, in addition to championship week, I'm sure plenty of people played daily games like DraftKings. I know I did. And with millions being won each week, every play and every game could take you closer to a life-changing payday. Hurry over to DraftKings.com now and use our promo code PFF to play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest. The last of the year, mind you. So if you're looking to be a millionaire on fantasy football, this is it. First place takes home, in this particular case, $100,000. That's PFF for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. But before we get to our last DraftKings value plays, Russ, let's review championship week, because there were several players that tipped the scales in favor of the winners and the losers, you and myself included. And we'll just go in positional order as we always do. So quarterback, first up, Stud this week, Blake Bortles, 368 yards, four touchdowns. I don't know that we can say we are surprised by this, only because A, Bortles has done this at various points this season, and B, and probably more importantly, he was playing the Saints, and I'm pretty sure I could throw for two touchdowns playing the Saints. So if you rode the Bortles wave to your championship, then he definitely came through for you this week.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't believe we're at this point, but he was fantastic from a fantasy perspective this year. You bought him for nothing, and he was a high-end quarterback one this year, and he topped it off for you. Including this week. So four passing touchdowns and over 350 yards. That might not single-handedly win you a week, but that's going to give you a huge advantage.
Yeah, it just is. And, you know, I'm hopeful that this means good things for next year for Bortles and the whole Jags offense. I'm hoping, you know, it doesn't get to a point where defenses have figured them out, but we will see. We will see. So, all right, let's get to the dud at quarterback for this week, Russ. Ben Roethlisberger, 215 passing yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Yeah, if you started him this week, you probably didn't win.
And which is awful because whenever he did play this year, he was like Bortles, high end to like crazy high end quarterback production. So. It's unfortunate it happened this week, but it's a process play. You had to start him, you know. You weren't sitting.
Yeah, it wasn't anything that I think any of us could have foreseen. I know I definitely didn't foresee Ryan Nassib from the Giants having more fantasy points than Ben Roethlisberger this week, but alas, here we are. So if you started Ryan Nassib, like, good for you. You should probably be hosting this over me and Russ, but. Nonetheless, yeah, it was very disappointing to say the least. All right, on to running backs, Russ. On the flip side of the Pittsburgh offense, you had D'Angelo Williams, 100 rushing yards, two rushing touchdowns, six receptions, 53 yards. Yeah, I don't know that there was a better running back this week. I mean, maybe Tim Hightower with his garbage time stuff, but other than that, D'Angelo did pretty good.
And I mean, this was the ultimate handcuff this year for Le'Veon Bell and pretty much in all fantasy football. He was basically the running back one. If you take out those Devonta Freeman, that 4-week stretch from him, I mean, D'Angelo was the clear running back one in the season. So impressive stuff. He's just continues to do it. And he took the production from Ben Roethlisberger, two goal line rushing touchdowns, and that's kind of how it went. You know, he just took all the production. So,
yeah. All right, our dud at running back, Russ, Chris Ivory, the New York Jets, 39 rushing yards, four receptions, which actually is fairly high for Chris Ivory, but only four receiving yards. You know, at times he flirted with running back one production. I would probably, for me, I would feel a lot better if he were my running back two for the season. But yeah, if you had him this week, he didn't do a whole lot for you.
No. And I mean, it was against New England, so they have a pretty solid front seven. But I think throughout the year, he kind of gained your trust. So if you were not even desperate, if you just needed a running back two, especially with how things shook out this year, he was a solid option. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, there's really nothing else to say. I mean, other than his Jets teammate at receiver, Brandon Marshall, who continues to do Brandon Marshall things, definitely a stud for championship week. Eight receptions, 115 yards, two touchdowns. Will Brandon Marshall ever die, Russ?
No. This season confirmed. I think this is his best season ever, including in terms of touchdowns. He's had more receptions in the season, but this was pretty much incredible all year. He didn't have a bad game. I think his lowest receiving yardage total was 70 yards. So, oh, wait.
And it was really, you know, I guess, satisfying, you know? I mean, this is his fourth team after being drafted by Denver, going to Miami, ended up in Chicago, and now at New York, and he just keeps producing. You know, he had 1,000 yards in each of those stops. So, yeah, it just, it's very impressive what he's doing at his age, especially for a receiver. And look, for a team that's not necessarily known for passing it and has Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback, again, to string this season that he's had is pretty impressive.
Yeah, and okay, here's the stat I was going for. He's either had a touchdown or 60 yards in every game this year.
Yeah.
So, that's his wide receiver one production. That's his absolute floor. I mean, he had what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 100-yard games this year.
Yeah. And out of 15 so far, you know? I mean, it's very impressive. So hopefully he can keep it up. Our dud stat line of 0 for 0. Odell Beckham, man, it's, you know, I don't have a lot of Odell Beckham shares, but to have to sit that guy in championship week, if you're in the championship, I would be very, very upset at that.
Yeah. And again, there's nothing you can really do, but I saw so many comments on Twitter this week of people just making do and then throwing out these awful lineups because he was their one stud, getting them 20 to 30 points a week. And without that, it's just, you know, so it's too bad, but that's what happens when you get
maddening, man. He's maddening. but that's okay. All right. Moving on to tight ends, Russ. Jordan Reed, who, you know, he's definitely in top five tight ends this year, maybe even top three. 9 receptions, 129 yards, and 2 touchdowns. If you had him on your championship week roster, like, I applaud you. I mean, I would love to see the percentages of teams that won this week with Jordan Reed, because I'm pretty sure he single-handedly decided a few of those.
Well, when you look at his weeks 14 through 16, this is exactly sort of him and Doug Baldwin were the guys that kind of carried you through the championship if you owned them. So week 14, he had 30 DraftKings points. Week 15, he had 27. And last week, he had 37. So,
yeah,
I mean,
for a tight end.
Yeah.
A tight end, Russ. That's like Gronkowski in numbers.
Yeah. So
he yeah, carried. It's pretty impressive.
He carried.
Well, And for Reed, you know, he did miss 2 games a season, but look, in reality, that's literally his healthiest season of the 3 he's had so far in his career. So it's very refreshing to see that he lasted. And I think he developed into the tight end we thought he was. I mean, he would always have these spurts of a few weeks where he would just light it up and then get hurt for an extended amount of time. But this season was the first time he really put it together for most of the season. And it's, look, for tight ends, which, as you and I have discussed here several times, is a very, I don't know what the word is. There's a lot of parity, let's say, at the tight end position.
Fantasy. that's a nice wording, yes.
But Jordan Reed is at the top of that list, you know. Yeah. So it was very nice to see. Meanwhile, our dud, Julius Thomas, who has strung together a couple games, a good game. So like you said, weeks 14, 5 for 54 and a touchdown. Week 15, 6 for 79. Not bad for tight ends. But last week, championship week, 2 for 12 at New Orleans, Russ, when I think a lot of people hoped that he could take advantage of that very, very weak Saints defense. 2 for 12 has to be one of the more disappointing outings of any fantasy player in championship week.
And you were throwing him in there confidently. I mean, I know I was in terms of DFS. So if you had him on a season-long roster, you had to be confident with that, even throwing him in as a flex or something with the second tight end. So definitely a disappointment. I think if they ran that game 10 times, that result probably only happens once or twice, that he comes up with 2 for 12. Right. When they, how many points did they score? Like 40, 35 or something like that?
The final in New Orleans was 38-27.
Yeah.
Jags scored 27. So
that's disappointing.
It is. Yes. But that's okay, Russ. But again, championship week is over and done with. So again, if to all the championship winners out there, congratulations. Hopefully you get a trophy. Maybe you get some money, but you definitely get some bragging rights for the next 8 months until your draft next year. And for those of us on the losing side, well, there's always DFS for next week, Russ. Am I right?
You are correct.
So without further ado, a very smooth segue, let's get into our very last DraftKings value plays of the week, Russ. You know, it's kind of sad because, you know, I think we get used to, you know, months of having lineups to put together on Sunday, and then all of a sudden it's just taken away from us. Right around Christmas time, too. It's like Christmas is over. I'm taking away everything.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting. For week 17, if you've played in past years, you know, you have to be very cautious. I would not be making lineups right now. You want to wait till Saturday or Sunday to see who's actually playing, who's resting, what sort of the game plans are, and who's actually playing this week.
Right.
So there's always random guys, random running backs who run for 200 yards. Not that that'd be anything different than the rest of this year, but yeah, there's a lot of randomness to week 17. So covet those bankrolls. Be careful out there.
I was going to say, so with that in mind, Russ, let's give the folks some friendly DFS advice. Let's start with quarterback. You know, a couple plays I like, you know, I think Drew Brees is not a bad play. $6,700, but he's at Atlanta. So that could very well be a shootout. You know, I haven't ridden this train all season, but you know, it's week 17, so like, what the heck, why not jump on now? Kirk Cousins at only 5400, and he's at Dallas, which I feel like Cowboy games at Dallas are always shootouts no matter who the opponent is. So and at 5400, that's a pretty solid price for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And as we just mentioned, just stack him with Jordan Reed. Just
right,
do it.
Right.
And don't worry about the rest.
No matter what the price is, Jordan Reed is the play there. All right. Moving on to running backs, Russ. And again, I think especially as you touched on, and it's a very good point, this position more than any, I think, is the one to look at as far as injury reports and starting lineups and whatnot, because you've got a lot of variation there. You've got a lot of factors going into this. I mean, just like we touched on Lynch a little earlier in the show, it remains to be seen if he actually plays this week or not. So like you said, definitely wait as long as you can before constructing these. But as they are now, as we record this.
I'm looking. Okay, so Chip Kelly just got fired. And,
so you're saying this is the ultimate like DeMarco Murray Kelly, right?
You knew where I was going, yeah.
I mean,
4,000. You don't want to go all in on him, but he's playing the Giants, who have just been awful this year. So that's an interesting guy. And hey, Gurley against San Francisco is also another interesting one.
Personally, I think I'm a fan of the Frank Gore play this week. $4,000, but coming off a very good game with two touchdowns against Miami. Indianapolis is at home against Tennessee, so it's not exactly that stout of an opponent. But look, if you're looking to save money at that position, and you're looking for, you know, pretty much touchdown only production, I think Frank Gore is a pretty good play there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the volume he gets every week. It's pretty consistent. They're using him in all ways, and with the quarterback situation the way it is, they have to use him. So
right.
You have right. Very secure production right there.
Right, right. All right, so let's move on to some receivers, Russ. You know, we touched on Brandon Marshall. he's not cheap exactly. He's at 7,900, but I don't know. If he's your most expensive receiver, I think I'm okay with that.
He is the ultimate cash game play. I love the way they use him. Yeah. He's just consistent every week. As we mentioned, 9 100-yard games this year. I don't see why that wouldn't continue this week with a touchdown or 100 yards. So 7,900 is a decent price to pay.
You've also got Martavis Bryant at 5,300. Pittsburgh is at Cleveland this week with plenty to play for. You know, coming off a 1-for-6 game last week, I don't know. Are you comfortable with Bryant at that price, or are you going to try to avoid this week?
I'm always going to throw him into tournaments.
He
always has that upside. I mean, he's such a freak athlete that he's going to have one of these weeks where he breaks two long touchdowns. So it's coming. I like the Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant sort of stack again. Go back to the well. It didn't work last week, but I think it could turn around this week.
One more play, and we sort of touched on this player a little bit earlier, but Jordan Matthews,
yeah,
4,700 this week at the Giants. Look, one of my strategies in playing daily games every single week is to look at the really bad defenses. And again, it's the kind of thing that you sort of have to wait about halfway through the season to sort of let those sort of things shake out. But especially by this time of year, you know which defenses are bad, and the Giants' defense is just bad. So if you can stack players against those bad defenses like the Giants, I'm all for that. And Jordan Matthews at 4,700 this week at the Giants, ooh, man, I'm all over that for cash or for tournament plays, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That of all the prices this week, that one really sticks out. It's really confusing because he was 4,300 2 weeks ago. He scored 33 points. And then he was 4,400 last week, and he scored 25 points. And he only went up $300, and he's playing the Giants. So that's a nice little value.
Yeah, I'm not going to question the DraftKings algorithms, Russ, and you shouldn't either. one more play, not too sexy, but Willie Snead out of New Orleans has put together a pretty good season. He's priced at 4,400 this week. Coming off a decent week last week, 4 for 75, still not catching a whole lot of touchdowns. But look, again, at that price, if he's your third or fourth receiver cost wise, I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, he's on pace for 1,000 yards if he gets 51 yards next week. So, at 4,400, he's a pretty good value. Atlanta, they're such a weird team.
I know they look horrible. They start the season 5-0 and they look great. Then they go into a deep funk and they lose, I don't know, 7 or 8 of their next 9. And then they beat Carolina. So, you know.
that pretty much says it all. So,
right.
I think if Breeze plays, I'm not sure his status. I'm assuming since he played last week, he's definitely playing this week, but that's still a slightly weird situation.
Yeah, and actually, you bring up a good point. Yeah, definitely watch to see what Breeze's status is. Look, the Saints have nothing to play for. It's one of those things that why risk further injury if you don't have to? But again, you only get 16 of these things a year, so it wouldn't surprise me if Drew Breeze said, "Screw it, I'm going to go out anyway." So, all right, Russ, let's move on to tight ends. You know, you still got Delanie Walker sitting there, 5,600 at Indianapolis this week. Didn't have the greatest game last week. Let me see here. I mean, again, no one from Tennessee had a good game last week. They got shellacked. But, it still had 9 for 59.
Yeah.
You know, for a tight end, that's pretty good.
He is a target hog there.
He really is.
85 yeah. receptions this year. He's been their main weapon. So
yeah.
I like him. That's a nice little value. I mean, Jordan Reed again. the hot streak will come to an end, but as we've seen, players can do this for four game stretches. So him extending one more game wouldn't be that surprising.
And the thing I like about Reed, and look, it's the same mentality with guys like Gronk or Olsen or even Walker, is they are the, if not the top target on their offense, receiving wise, the at least top two. I mean, that's what makes them so productive, is they are getting a lot of targets and a lot of looks. And with Jordan Reed, I think it's obvious that Kirk Cousins looks for him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one more value play, Russ. It would not be a podcast without Mr. Gary Barnage. $4,700 this week. Again,
this is
if you're looking to save money at a position, not bad. Led Cleveland last week with three receptions for 47 yards. So not the greatest numbers, but look, he's still leading the team in receiving yards.
Yeah, 23 yards away from 1,000. Against Pitt last time, he went 6 for 65 and a touchdown. They're going to try to get him to 1,000 yards this week. Narrative straight.
We could only hope, Russ. all right. Any other value plays for the fine folks on this last week of DFS, Russ?
Zach Ertz at 3,600. They've been tossing a rock to him quite a bit the last 3 weeks. 26 receptions in the last 3 weeks. So,
and like we talked about, they're playing a Giants defense that's really bad.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Any Philadelphia shares this week, I think I'm going to try to get. So, all right, Russ. Well, that does it for us this week. Again, congratulations to all of those championship winners. And look, we still have one more week of daily games left. And for those of you playing a weird championship week in week 17, good luck to you.
I'm praying for you if that's the case.
truly, you're in our thoughts and prayers for this week. So, all right. Until next time, he's Russell Clay. I'm Michael Moore, and we will see you next time.
PFF Radio is powered by Pro Football Focus. Follow PFF Radio on Twitter, at PFF Radio. Also follow us on Twitter, at PFF_fantasy. Join the conversation and like us on Facebook, and plus one us on Google+.